Doesn't that computer know who you
don't
are?
Don't they have any idea?
Bow down to the Tech Talk host.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Behold the glory that is me.
A little while ago, I was installing some software, and I ran across this exact same
thing. I find you pompous, judgmental, and completely self-absorbed. Would you be my friend?
Onto a Windows Vista machine.
You would think.
You'd think there'd be no problem.
How could there be a problem with that?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Directory permissions with config.msi directory, blah, 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 blah.
This is Tech Talk. Good morning. This is Tech Talk on WRLR 98.3 FM in Round Lake Heights, and I think we got Dave Sparky Sakadaki hanging on with us like right off the bat here too.
I'll take your word for it.
Hey, there he is. All right. Wow. Already we're rocking the mic, rocking the board. No major technical issues. Of course. Now I got to try to break that in the new year. I'm gonna add our good friend Jay Garman to a call right off the bat here. See if we can bring him in. Believe it or not, he's got like a real life and things to do. And, you know, unlike the rest of us, he actually wants to do something else today. So we're going to try to bring him in really quick so we can get as much Jay as possible as quickly as possible and do that.
Actually, having Jay on it works out perfectly.
It always does, but
no, this is early in the show because I have something that only Jay can explain.
Hello.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Garman. How are you doing, sir?
How you doing, gentlemen?
Good. Good.
Hey, Jay, how are you?
I can't complain. You know, oh, I could. No one would care.
Yeah, that's my problem too. I have an hour a week. I get to do nothing but complain, and still nobody listens. So,
that's not fair. Right. Customer Jones listens.
Oh, that is true. That is true. We've got our listener. I think. Although I've been so lax in putting up the podcast this last few weeks during the holiday season, and iTunes, there was a big thing on iTunes. I don't know if you heard about this, but they had stopped putting for about a week during the holidays for whatever reason. They just stopped uploading and updating podcasts, and so anybody that listened to us via iTunes would have not received any new updates. Although that's been corrected now. I don't know why it happened, but it just did. So, and they sent out an email letting everybody know that this was occurring, but with no explanation. So the usual Yahoo, Apple, Microsoft kind of business.
Well, you know,
definitely.
Steve Jobs or the ghost of Steve Jobs knows better than you do what you need. So if Steve decided you didn't need podcasts that week, clearly he was right, because he's Steve.
that's right. That's right. It's supposed to be a week of contemplation and joy and family togetherness, not to burying your ears and headphones and listening to guys like me rattle off. So I get it. And being Steve, he must have been right. So there you are.
I disagree with the ghost of Steve here, because I think that week of the year is the one you most need. Otherwise, you'll be forced to talk to these people.
This is true. This is true. Yeah, and actually, I did a lot of podcast listening while I was during that week, because I wound up driving up to the Arctic North with my family up in Minnesota, hanging out up there and seeing them and doing a lot of driving. It's about a 6-hour drive up there or so, and it gave me a chance to catch up on a lot of the podcasts that I don't normally get a chance to, including I even threw on one of ours just for the heck of it to hear how things were going.
Look, we don't do quality control around here, Mr. Kassler. There's no spot checking. We don't do that.
No,
this is pure, unadulterated, let's say, genius.
Okay, I'll go with that. That's fine. Absolutely. Even the podcasts.
Wait a second. Are you guys talking about this show?
We're the only ones talking about this show, Dave.
Exactly. And that is, it is a good point. If people don't realize that, if you're listening to the podcast and you're expecting, you know, the NPR level of editing and post-production and so on, post-production, just to let you know, what post-production means in the terms of Tech Talk is I loaded it into Goldwave. So that's what era I'm still working in with audio equipment. I loaded it into Goldwave. I cut the ends off and then uploaded it via FTP. I saved it as MP3 and uploaded it via FTP to my web server. So that's post. That's what's considered post around here.
Well, the NPR comparison is an unfair one because our operation is one of the few in existence with a budget lower than NPR's.
This is a good point. This is a good point. Yeah, we don't even have who does This American Life? Ira Glass. We don't even have an Ira Glass to support us, you know, through the thin times. Our budget is essentially non-existent. We are a true 501c. So since it is the end of the year, this is really the last week for people that want to make sure that they have enough deductions on their taxes. This is the time to do it. This is when you're looking. Everybody should go right now, look at their bank accounts, figure out how much they need to give to us in order to maximize their tax returns, and then do it today. I think make sure you put a note in to the studio manager that this suggestion came to you from the Tech Talk show, and go in there and make everybody happy. It's really easy.
Speaking of donations, lots of people are waiting in line for organ donations.
Wait,
the technology has a solution for this. Have you heard about this?
No. And they're waiting in line for them too. Okay, so what?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, like for instance, liver donation. People are waiting for livers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, according to Lucas Mirian from Computer World, they're going to be able to print the first 3D liver next year.
Ooh!
In 2014.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's cool. The first 3D... Now, the liver's a pretty basic organ, too, because it's essentially just a filter for you. So, but that is astonishing. I had read a brief article that talked about how they've actually gone and started to try and use a 3D replicator to do some other stuff like eye cells and things like cells from your eyeballs. But I hadn't heard that they were that close. They really think they're going to have one in 2014, they're saying, or 2015?
2014.
Wow.
And the name of the company is called Organovo.
Well, I get that. That's a combination. Novo, like new, and Orga, you know, organs. And so new organs.
Organovo, yeah.
Yeah.
The reason I ordinarily would not be, you know, bringing something like this up when Jay's on the air, you know, busting into his segment with it, but I thought he could help explain it.
Yeah, Jay, you do actually, you have done some discussion and thought on 3D printing and stuff like that. Do you know more about this than, well, I'm sure you know more than Dave or I, but do you know enough to speak intelligently on how are they making this happen? I mean, how can they take these, you know, what I thought was like just essentially like molded plastics and stuff like this, but into actual bio-useful organs?
Well, the real key is, a typical 3D printer has effectively a couple of soldering irons and a spool of plastic and a cool sheet that you put stuff onto. What these do, they work like inkjet printers. So the real trick to them doing with organic materials that have live cells is the reservoir you're drawing from has to be constantly nutrient-fed, and the reservoir you're depositing to has to be constantly nutrient-fed. And that the time spent moving between basically the depositor and the recipient has to be very, very short.
Mm.
And so it's basically an issue of plumbing and timing on an extremely small scale. You've got to have temperature right. You've got to have salinity right. You've got to have nutrient content right. You know, you've got to do it all in a clean room. But those are all effectively engineering problems. But, you know, things like liver cells or eye cells are all basically undifferentiated cell structures. You're not laying down different kinds of cells. It's all the same. You just got to lay them down in a certain pattern at a certain depth at a certain consistency, which automation can do. So this sort of early stuff is going to pave the way to keeping cells alive before, during, and after construction. What's going to get interesting in the next 5 to 10 years when we get these depositing systems, these ancient printers, that can handle multiple cell types. So you can start building organs that have walls and capillaries and different internal structures, suborgans, if you will.
Mm.
That's when it's going to get really hard.
Mm.
Well, how they're addressing the problem right now for the vascular end of it is they're using sugar glass. That's the glass that they use for props and movies. You know, you always see bad guys or there's brawls and people fall through windows and the glass shatters, but nobody ever gets cut. That's because it's actually confection. It's glass made of sugar, and they're using similar small molds made of sugar glass to provide the space for blood vessels to be.
Hmm. Interesting. Wow. And that makes sense. Now, you're right. You know, as these organs become more complicated, and so it'll be fabulous to see replacement livers be created. I on a personal note, my brother-in-law's brother, I don't know what that makes him to me, but my brother-in-law's brother fairly recently, last 2 years, actually died because of this issue. He was in need of a liver transplant, was on the list, but was very low on the list because of his personal situation. It's a long story, but he had basically contributed greatly to the the ultimate failure of his own liver and other systems. So he was not going to be way up on the list. But if he had been able to receive one, whether it be a real, you know, alive from another human, or apparently maybe one of these 3D printed ones, it would have extended his life a fair amount of time, a considerable amount of time. And unfortunately, it just wasn't possible for him. And certainly, you know, the people making those decisions have an incredibly difficult time with those moral choices, I know. But boy, this would be a wonderful boon for people in similar situations, or even more heartbreaking situations where it's children and others who really had no ability right now to hasten that procedure, those potentially life-saving procedures. So that's wonderful news for the new year. I hope that plays out, and it certainly sounds like it will from everything we're seeing.
Yeah, the only bad part of it is the spam you'll be getting about, you know, certain organs getting larger, that you can get a 3D organ printed.
Yeah. Man, I'd be happy with the 2D version of that. I tell you, I just need to fake them out for a minute. You're right. It's funny you mentioned that. I haven't seen spam like that for quite some time, and I don't know if it's just that my spam filters are better, or if the governments that have been shutting down some of these spam servers have really contributed to a reduction in some of these issues. And I don't know if we just did we lose people here. Do I still got you guys? Oh, gosh, darn it. We're in the middle of really exciting, interesting talk, and of course, we lose we lose all of our people. I'm going to try to call everybody back here and see if we can grab them again. This is the fun of course, being on live radio using technology. That's why they do call us a Tech Talk Show. You know, when you're listening to us, not only do we use technology, but we abuse it and we lose it. And we have a lot of fun with it, too, sometimes.
Hello.
Oh, there we go. We got Mr. Garmin back. How about Dave? Dave, are you with us?
I'm back. I'm back as well.
Fantastic. I don't know what happened. We've been having some drops on our router again. I know that this is one of the things that our good friend Chris Zeman, who does a tremendous job of managing technology at the station here, and I have been talking about and working on good solutions to, is how to resolve some of these drops and the router issues that we've got, talking about maybe upping our bandwidth and doing some other things. So, shouts out to Comcast. They do a good job for us. We do need to probably, tune and condition some of the lines that are here in the studio at some point fairly soon. So apologies to listeners and everybody about us losing everybody all at the same time. Jay, I know that you need to get moving at some point here, so I want to make sure that we hit the high points. We can keep you on as long as you're willing to stay, but to make sure that we don't run out of time for answering last week's Geek Trivia and then getting a new one, I figure we might as well jump into some of that. The question it wasn't last week, of course, it was from a couple of weeks ago, was what was the longest distance a wheeled vehicle has driven on a body other than Earth? Any body other than Earth, I guess that is.
Right. A lot of space nerds know the record held by the Apollo 17 moon buggy, because it drove slightly over 35 kilometers on the moon. And it set a land speed record of around 17 miles an hour. So that's the fastest anyone's ever driven, not on this planet, in a wheeled vehicle. But the Apollo 17 lunar rover is actually only good for third in the distance category. Opportunity, the wheeled rover that went to Mars in 2004, has driven about almost 36 kilometers, and that's only good for second. Believe it or not, in 1973... when the Soviets landed the Lunokhod 2 lunar rover on the moon, a 1970s robot rover drove 37 kilometers during its mission life. Still holds the record 30 years later. It's unreal.
Yeah, that, wow. So 37 kilometers, so we're talking about what, nearly 20 miles, something like that.
It's about 23 miles, I would guess.
23. Well, yeah, and as a Canadian, you should know this off the top of your head there, Dave.
I should know it better than I do, that's for sure.
37 clicks, 23 miles. Yeah, that makes, wow, that's actually, that's a long way.
Now, I want to be clear, this is with 1970s Soviet technology this happened. I mean, this is a remarkable achievement, considering that the Chinese landed Chang'e 3 earlier this month, and they could barely get their rover to circle the lander. It's really, really hard to do this. And in the 70s, before Star Wars came out, the Soviets put a robot rover on the moon that drove 20 miles. It is amazing.
Now, how long did it take them, or how long did it take the rover to make that distance?
I believe it was operational for a matter of weeks. Okay. And I don't intimately know the Lunokhod mission profile. I will confess that Soviet 1970s robot moon rovers is not the high area of expertise for me. But I believe it was operational for a number of weeks. The larger issue almost with all of these, more so Martian rovers than moon rovers, is these things kick up a lot of dust, and that includes their solar panels. So they literally get less and less powerful the longer they run. The most recent Martian rover has a radioisotope thermoelectric generator, which is basically a stack of radioactive material wrapped in a thermocouple. So as the isotope decays, it puts off heat and puts off a very consistent amount of electricity. And they basically had to put this extremely heavy generator on the vehicle because they can't keep solar panels clean long enough. There's just no getting around it. Also, the RTGs put off waste heat that they can use to keep mechanical instruments from freezing up. The Chinese rover, Shenzhou-3, part of the reason they've had trouble with it is on the moon, the difference between light and shade, even within its own vehicle, is literally hundreds of degrees. So when the sun hits the rover, the side of it that's in the sun is almost boiling, boiling point of water, and everything else in the, on the other side that's in its own shadow is below freezing. That's very hard on mechanical implements. It's really hard to deal with that.
Yeah.
So when you know what, Jake? You know what, go ahead.
I'm sorry. You know what I just figured out?
Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
Jay is actually the real Mr. Proton. Professor Proton.
Professor Proton. I like it. I like Jay Professor Proton Garmin. I think we can you know, you mentioned something though it hadn't really occurred to me is how difficult it is to keep those solar panels clean, you know, even in space. And then also too, of course, they undergo the same radical changes in temperature that the rest of the craft does. And most of the times when we see solar panels here, we're looking at things that have a pretty fragile materials with glass and the silicon and so on that probably doesn't stand up extremely well to these extremes in temperature and extremes in environment. So like you said, it's the space program just in general is just insane that it actually happened and that it works and that we've now like basically said, we're done with that. You know, I can't wrap my head around that.
It's nuts. Well, and the Apollo program in particular, because these days we take very known technology. There's very little cutting edge that goes on in these tech. They want something that's very proven. They know exactly how it works. They can harden it against radiation and temperature. It's all very not cutting edge technology. When Apollo went to the moon, the Apollo guidance computer was the first computer in the world to use integrated circuitry. It was literally an experimental prototype. And the backup for it was slide rules. Like, that's how nuts Apollo was. We're going to put a computer that's going to be responsible for running all of your systems and getting you navigated where you need to be, a matter of life and death. This technology has never been used anywhere else before, and if it fails, you're back to, like, literally 100-year-old manual slide rules to figure out how to land. I mean, this is gonzo insane what we did with Apollo.
Yep.
Yep. So, Jay, you wouldn't have gone, right? If you had a chance, knowing what you know now, would you have gone?
I would have totally gone. If they call me today, I have poor circulation and I'm in terrible shape and I'm not that good at math. If they called me today, I'm on a plane to Houston and saying, whatever I got to do, I'm doing.
Even if it was riding in one of those 1970s era... the one that by the way killed three of the potential astronauts before they even got off of the ground. I don't know. I might have to think.
Physics that door, and yes, I would get in that. That's retro. That's vintage. I'm a hipster astronaut. I would totally do it.
I might have to think about it a little bit. You know.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Pure oxygen.
Well, but I'm going.
And why were they using pure oxygen anyway? I mean, that was a crazy thing. You know, that was a sad decision, I think.
The Apollo 1 thing was tragic on a number of levels, but the main one is they were doing a seal test. They were actually over pressurizing the capsule to make sure that when it got to vacuum pressure outside of it, the seals wouldn't fail. So to simulate the difference in pressure at sea level, they had to completely overpressurize the inside of that. And they're overpressurizing it with pure oxygen. I mean, they're literally making a bomb out of the inside of Apollo 1 in the middle of this. And it just didn't occur to them that they could cause a fire. the testimony of some of the other astronauts during the inquest to Apollo 1.
Whoops. Oh, geez. Oh, come on. I'm
here.
I know, but you know what? I lost Jay again. Gosh darn it. This dumb thing. I'm telling you. Well, you know what happened, too, is I saw your call come through, and I thought, oh, well, I need to answer that.
yeah, and you hung up on Jay.
Exactly. All right, we're bringing Jay in again. We're bringing Jay in again. Let's see if he'll actually even answer. He's probably going to be like, yeah, you know, forget about these guys. Oh, man.
Yeah. Well, while all this has been going on, by the way, you mentioned you started the show. You should have never said that technically things were going well at the beginning of the show. Always first to death.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
While that was happening, my power has been going off and on here.
Oh, is that maybe that's what happened? Because, like I said,
no, because I'm on a cell network.
Okay.
And that wouldn't affect Jay. The power grid in Toronto wouldn't not be affecting Jay Garman, I don't think.
Well, hopefully not. Now, of course, I don't know if he's not picking up. It's not. It's even going through to get through to him. So it may be something to do with the networks or with Skype or some other kind of fun things. Who knows. It's just, it's the usual Tech Talk show here. I'm gonna try him. I'm gonna try him one more time here. Let's see if I can grab him in. Okay, we got Jay Garman. So let's add him. Let's try. Come on, Jay. Come on. Yeah, it's not letting us dial.
Well, not to mention, I wasn't really trying to give a hard time to our tech guys. In an email, I was just pointing out the different things that could go wrong or how they might have gone wrong. Maybe they took that personally, and I don't know. We seem to be having a harder time with our network this week.
Yeah, it really does. This week does seem to be having some difficulties more so than others. I'm going to try one other way that I can do this here and see if this will work. But.
Sure.
Hey, it's ringing this time. Anyways, at least we got that. Yeah, you know, it's that. Like I said earlier, it's just that's always the fun of being not only on live radio, but dealing with tech. Jay, do we have you back? Hello?
Theoretically.
There we are. Oh, my gosh. And he can hear us, too, and everything. This is fantastic. Well, so you know what? Maybe the part of the problem, too. So normally what I do is I use Skype. I'm just going to do a shout out for Skype. It's a fantastic program for as free and as functional as it is. And one of the things that you can do that is little known, perhaps, is that you can actually do little mini conference calls with it. And you can add more than one person to a single call. And that's typically how I do things is I have Dave on and then I add in Jay and I've got both of you on a single call. We actually have multiple computers here. So what I chose to do at the moment is I've got you running. We got wires running across everywhere right here to have this occurring. I've got my computer hooked up. We've got two PCs hooked up with Skype on one of them, Dave, and the other one, Jay, and another PC running for our background music and interstitial and stuff. So it's in case people think that I'm just a complete incompetent, that may be true, but there is also a degree of complexity here that you don't normally deal with, at least at home. So so Jay, I'm crossing my fingers we're not going to lose you again. What should people think about, though, for next week? And then I want to hear what cool stuff you got for the holidays this year.
Well, for next week, I thought we'd do a little trivia about the Times Square ball drop.
Hmm. Perfect.
So,
great.
The Times Square illuminated ball was first dropped in 1907, New Year's Eve 1907. So it's been going on for over a century, and it's only been ferried three times. Almost every time, it's 11:59 on the dot, and for 60 seconds, they drop the illuminated ball in Times Square. When it's bottom, it's New Year.
Mm.
Well, three times they've ferried that. Twice they canceled it altogether because of World War II restrictions on not illuminating anything downtown for fear of giving someone an air raid target. And one other time they've varied the 60-second ball drop tradition for an extremely geeky and technical reason. So setting aside World War II restrictions for safety, What is the only time in the history of the Times Square ball drop that the ball was not dropped over the course of 60 seconds? And what was the special geeky technical reason why?
Ooh, that's a great question. Now, I knew about the World War II stuff where they wanted to protect against air raids. I have a guess, but I'm not going to voice it, about the other reason being geeky. That's a great one. And, of course, as people should realize, this is the last show before the New Year's. So man, that's perfect timing, too. Something to think about. I will try to get this posted before the New Year's so that people have an opportunity to provide the answer to that before we get into January 1 of 2014. I want to find out, because I know you've got to run, Jay, and all that, so we may not have a lot of time with you on air here. What was the coolest or geekiest or most interesting techie kind of thing that you got this Christmas? Or did you get anything like that? And it's your birthday kind of too, so you had like just you must have had just piles and piles of presents lined up around you.
Well, yeah, I've got a stack of books, which makes me very happy, and I can go into those. But I guess the tie for geekiest is I got a Chromecast, which I've not had a chance to play with yet.
Ooh.
And I got a new a board game called Star Trek Assault Wing, which is a miniature combat game using Star Trek starships, which I'm very excited to play later today. Now, I can go into either one, but I haven't played with the Chromecast yet. I have dived into the rules of the Star Trek Assault Wing. It's very similar to the new Star Wars X-Wing miniature combat game that's come out in the last year or so, which I have played quite a bit and I highly recommend. It's a little pricey, but if you watch for some sales, you can get good deals on it. And it's basically two to as many people as you want on a flat table. And you can just do a ship combat to your heart's content. And it's very tactical, but it's got a lot of inside jokes from the inside references to all the films and the shows and whatnot. So you can outfit your ships with special pilots, you know. Mm. In the X-Wing version, you can get the Millennium Falcon and outfit it with Han Solo and Chewbacca, and they give you special abilities, or switch it out for Lando Calrissian and Eden of, and sort of for the Jedi crew, and do different things with that. You know, the Star Trek version, which I've got, you know, it comes with a Galaxy Class starship, which you can put Captain Picard in. It comes with a Klingon warship and a Romulan warship, and you can do special cloaking attacks, and it's all very nerdy and fun and awesome. I can't wait to play with it.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. That sounds great. And I am, oh man, I am so jealous of you and the Chromecast. I really want to try one of those out. Like I said, we've had that discussion that I've got the Roku. I saw they just added Plex support to it, which is cool. Both of those are fantastic. And you do, I know you did get a bunch of books. In fact, if people aren't following you on Facebook, they should, which is facebook.com, I think, just Jay Garman, you listed the books that you've got and what you're going to be reading here for the next few months. I don't have anything to compare to that, unfortunately. Although I've got to say a shout out to Verizon. So they sent me to review, and we're gonna have our good friend Paul Ulrich on again next week, and we'll talk about this probably a little bit. They sent me to review. I was just blown away. There's this Motorola portable Bluetooth speaker thing, and it's like the size of two packs of playing cards put end to end, but it has an astonishingly good sound. So that's probably the coolest geek kind of techie thing that I got that was fun to play with this year. I did break down and buy my wife and daughter a Nook tablet, a Nexus tablet, which I had sworn I wasn't going to purchase them any more electronics because of their disastrous inability to hold on to them securely or remember where they put them. So I won't go into that, but that's it. Man, well, I can't wait. The next time we talk, hopefully you'll have had some time to play with that Chromecast, because I would just love to hear how the comparison between that and a Roku, we can kind of compare notes versus an Apple TV and all that, and see how that all shakes out and which one works out.
Yeah, I will take that down as homework for the next show.
I appreciate that. Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry, honey, I have to rewire the television. I promised Mike.
That's right. Exactly. See, that's perfect. I've given you a reason that you need to spend several hours doing this. Yeah, I'm trying to think. So let's see. Next week will be January 4th. Yeah, we'll have Paul Ulrich on next week from Verizon. The week following that, we're going to try again with Nick Brouse, who is the Shakespearean expert who has contributed to firstfolioproductions.com, which is producing that very, very cool iPad app for Shakespeare aficionados, students and teachers. And then I just confirmed I got through directly to Hartmut Esslinger. Herr Esslinger is not a well-known name, but his designs are extremely recognizable. He's the guy who helped create the Apple IIe look and feel, if you remember those good-looking cases. So he's going to come on. He runs Frog Consulting now out on the West Coast, which is also a pretty big name design and consulting firm at the moment. So that should be a lot of fun. We got a lot of fun things coming up. Jay, I'm going to let you run. I know you got places to go and things to do, and we'll catch up to you then next week and hopefully hear a little update on the Chromecast and how that's going and everything else.
All right, excellent. You guys have a happy new year.
Yeah, you too. I think we lost Dave again, but either way, good enough. Jay, great talking to you, and we'll be in touch soon. Have a fantastic New Year's. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you in a week.
All right, take care, buddy.
Take care.
Take care.
Jay Garman. Dave, do we got you back now too?
For the time being, I almost called back in on the landline. Maybe next time.
Wow, what a bouncy day we've got. I think that's what we'll call it, the bouncy day. So, you know, we mentioned that Jay had a birthday just a week or so ago, and that contributed to the tech stuff that he was able to obtain for the Christmas season. There's some good and some bad things to having birthdays around the holiday season, but we should probably mention someone near and dear to the station who also has a birthday about this time. Dave, you mentioned this to me earlier today. Isn't there somebody that we know who's
this week? This week, Bish Chris, president of WRLR, Ronda Radio Incorporated, is having a birthday.
That's right.
And everybody that I know that has a birthday between Christmas and New Year's has their birthday forgotten so many times by people outside of their families, and even people inside their family sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I'm a sensitive to this and aware of this, but oftentimes, you know, I forget when. So anyway, happy birthday, Bish. You've done a lot for the station. The station wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you, and we wouldn't be on the air. And that's probably something you should be blamed for, not acknowledged for. But happy birthday, Bish, and all the best to you and your family for the holidays and for the new year.
Well, you took everything that I could have possibly said, so I'll just say ditto.
Sorry.
I'll just say ditto, but I do also have a special song queued up for Bish so that he'll continue listening until the end of the show. Typically a podcast-only song. I'm actually going to play it live on air today, and you just have to wait for that. I'm debating. I've got two versions of this song, and I'm not sure whether to play the Spike Jones one or the one that comes from an album called Merry Fishes to All. So we'll I'll decide at the last second which one I like better. Yeah. Yeah. So, hey, you know, and it is the end of the year. I wish that I could say, hey, I've got this fabulous, you know, 2013 walking into 2014 show queued up for us with the best ofs and all the other stuff. There were some best ofs that we can talk about, though. And there also, too, are some top things that have happened. One thing I wanted to touch on here for sure is we do have some lists out now from Google and other places. And one of the ones that is a lot of fun to look at is the top 10 most pirated videos for the year. it pretty much falls into what you would expect. The very, very top one, of course, is Game of Thrones. That was downloaded over 5,900,000 times. Breaking Bad also topped that list with 4.2 million estimated downloads. And then following that, a very close third is one of my favorite shows, The Walking Dead on AMC, 3.6 million. Now, I got to mention, you know, those top three, one thing strikes me immediately between those three. I don't know. Do you see the connection? Dave, do you know what I'm going to say here about those top three?
No, I don't.
What I'm going to say about these three here, the top three, is that they are impossible to watch without either paying separately or having a dedicated like HBO subscription. It's very difficult to obtain these legally or cheaply without buying into a whole lot of other stuff that you probably don't want. Game of Thrones in particular is just horrible to try and obtain without going through this, you know, basically piracy, black market stuff. Especially if you want to watch it about the time that all your friends are talking about it. You know, a big thing this last year was the Red Wedding. There was a Red Wedding episode of the Game of Thrones. Huge changes occurred in the show. It was a critical juncture. I'm not going to throw out spoilers here because it was so painful is that I could not watch it because I don't have an HBO subscription. It took me some time before I was able to find a way to view it. And during that time, of course, spoilers were dumped all over Facebook and Twitter and people were freaking out about it. And it was horrible. It was horrible. Same thing happens with Breaking Bad. The Walking Dead as well. I have well-intended friends who were so excited about the mid-season finale that basically kind of ruined it for me. So,
okay. All right. So, you're saying that there's high motivation for people to pirate these programs because they're hard to get without buying a package, without buying a subscription to HBO or Showtime or who's ever got them.
Absolutely. Right? That's exactly right. Is it? They really make it attractive to download. And currently, anyways, if you're careful, there aren't a lot of negatives or I don't want to say that you should do it. I'm saying that it's the penalties for it right now, if you're careful, are sparse and, you know, really kind of reserved for those who are doing stuff. One of the things that you can do if you want to be careful is you download but don't share it. Be a leecher. And it's a terrible thing to say to somebody to be a leech, but the people that are leechers typically aren't getting caught. And by a leecher, what that means is you download the video, but these are working. The way that pirating works is through peer-to-peer networking. Peer-to-peer means there's not a server out there somewhere, like a giant corporate-owned server with the latest Game of Thrones episode on it. It means that some guy out there with an HBO subscription ripped it off of their TV or via the web viewing of it or however they go about doing this, and then shared it. They said, hey, I'll make this available through a torrent file on Pirate Bay or wherever else. Mininova, there's a bunch of them. And then once somebody else starts downloading that, then both of those computers now can start sharing it. And then once you get third person, the fourth person, the fifth person who's downloaded it and made it available to share, then all of those people are sharing the are sharing that file. That's peer-to-peer networking, and the more people sharing that file, the easier it is to grab. But if you're not one of those people that actually shares the file back up, it's less likely that your internet service provider, your ISP, is going to be aware that you're pirating and feel compelled to do something about it. So, just a tip word for not condoning it, not suggesting anybody do it, but that's how the people that do want to do it are able to kind of get away with it without having a lot of penalties. There was a lot of other the top 10 included ones I'm a little bit surprised at, including Big Bang Theory, which is awfully easy to get. How I Met Your Mother, also very easy to get. Vikings, that's on the History Channel. That's also a great show. I'm not sure why that is being downloaded, because I think you can get that via the history.com, the website, but I'm not sure. Dexter also made the list again this year with in the top five. It was also on the list last year, but was only the top. It was the top two last year. So good stuff. The top 10 pirate.
Well, your fuzzy ethics are interesting.
Hey, I'm not saying to do this. I'm just saying I understand it. I get it. I know why it's tough.
I was sitting back generally thinking about that, and then I realized, well, my own ethics can be kind of fuzzy sometimes. Anyway, especially when it comes to stuff you like on the internet.
Yeah. Well, I was just talking in I've just finishing up my MBA at Lake Forest Graduate School of Management. Ding, ding, ding. We were just talking about the fudge factor.
Did you break out of tuition for that?
I oughta, man. I should forward this show to them. You know what? They'd probably ask for more money if I forwarded this show to them. Dan Ariely is an author, and he has done a lot of really interesting socio-psychology type of stuff. And one of the things that he focuses on is ethics and how ethical people are and when and why and how they break what they consider their ethical framework or their morals and all that. And he talks a lot about how we all kind of have this little fudge factor that we're willing to bend fudge a little bit when we think we're not going to get caught, or when we think that it just makes sense. There's also of course a lot of lists out there of the most searched for terms and talked about topics and so on. Interestingly, for Facebook, the most talked about topic on Facebook was Pope Francis, and that's in the world, and in the U.S. specifically, it was the Super Bowl. So I guess that kind of makes sense. The most retweeted tweet was Glee actress Lea Michele's first comment on the passing of her boyfriend and co-star Corey Monteith, who was also an actor on Glee. A very sad situation there. And I love this, of course, the most searched for term anywhere on any search engine that they could get records for was, what is twerking? So that one, hopefully everybody knows what it is now, and we can just move past that. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's nice. Well, that's, you know, it's interesting that, you know, you can make up a word and become able to go viral.
Yeah. There you go. She didn't make that up. That was a word prior to her usage of it. She just made it all her own, I guess, is what you'd have to say.
Yeah.
Miley just grabbed that and you took it right home. So those, I don't know if there's going to be any, it'll be interesting to see what the most searched on terms are next year. I don't think that's something that you can probably predict, because it's who knows every year. Oh, man. And of course, there's a lot of great lists, you know, of the top science and space stories, top 10 tech stories, which you got to figure the number one tech stories on most places are going to be about the NSA, you know, those sort of things. You know, I don't know what else would kind of hit the top list. Maybe Microsoft buying Nokia, Xbox One and PlayStation 4 coming out, of course, that sort of thing. Snapchat turning down several billions of dollars because they're incredibly smart idiots, in my humble estimation. Twitter had their IPO this year, of course, too, which was a big deal. And I think probably one of the top stories of 2013 was the rise and potentially now the fall of Bitcoin. Do you have any Bitcoins yet, Dave? Have you started?
No,
Bitcoin money?
I don't have Bitcoins. I don't have Bitcoins. No, I don't.
No.
Should I get Bitcoins?
I think the bottom fell out of the Bitcoin just it was about a week ago. The value of it dropped over 50% in less than 24 hours because China stepped up and said, we are not going to allow the trading and usage of Bitcoins in their marketplace. So, that's the problem with these, you know, made up sort of currencies, is that the value of them can alter incredibly, incredibly quickly. That's something here I want to bring up. I have this on my list that I wanted to talk about very briefly for the New Year's here. One thing that happens during the Christmas time, because a lot of people get these gift cards, these MasterCards and Visa gift cards and things like this. And, one of the things that you can do with a gift card that you may not be aware of is you can actually take those Visa gift cards and convert them into cash using Google Wallet.
Really?
Yes.
Is there a charge for that, or do you lose anything for it, or no?
Well, it depends. Now, it's kind of like an ATM transaction. Now, Google has got their own fees, but they've been waiving those fees around the holidays here. So it's possible that you could get it actually for zero exchange here. But if you really need the cash, not the gift card, the Visa or MasterCard gift card, what you can do is, now you got to have a Google Wallet, so you need your Google account, you need to set up a Google Wallet. The way Google Wallet works is that you link payment forms to it, such as a bank account, a Visa card, a MasterCard, you know, something along those lines. You can, though, link it not just with a regular bank card or Visa card or checking account, but you can link it to a Visa gift card. What the thing that makes this possible now to convert it to cash is that what Google has also been doing, they just recently, in this last, I think it was about 2 months or so ago, said that they are going to start offering or providing actual physical cards, a wallet card that you can use to pay just like you would a credit card or to get cash out of an ATM with. And so if you've linked your Visa or MasterCard gift card to your Google Wallet card, you can go to an ATM and you can pull cash out of that just like you would with your ATM or off of your credit card normally. And there would be, it would be just cash in your pocket then. And you wouldn't have to go through the whole rigmarole of using the card.
What a great tip.
Yeah, and I can't take credit for it. I wish I could. It didn't occur to me. This is actually from Eric Ravenscraft, who's one of the staff writers on Lifehacker and does a great job on there. So, that's one of the great websites that I love to check out all the time too, is lifehacker.com. Always a good site to do. I want to mention something too. While we're talking about this, is so one of the ways that you can follow and keep track of the information that we talk about here on the Tech Talk Show is through Flipboard.com. It's an app for your tablet or your phone primarily, but you can use it on the web too. If you are a user of Flipboard.com, I've recently started flipping all the stories that I'm going to cover on air, or that I want to try to cover on air, through and into the Flipboard magazine. So if you do a search on Tech Talk on WRLR in your Flipboard account, you will find us, and you can subscribe to us, and you will get my pick of curated news and information, and a lot of times the things we're going to talk about on air.
Super cool. We know in advance what we're going to talk about on air. That's great. That's something we're going to start.
Well, that's my New Year resolution, you know.
So you're
actually going to know something about what we're talking about. You know, it's funny you mentioned that. That was what convinced Herr Esslinger to come on air with us in a few weeks. Is I told him, I said, you know, we're a little different from the other interviews and shows that you may have done, in that we actually take the time to read the books that you provided before we talk to you. And I have to say, I may not do a great job of reading through all the news before we come on air, but I always do read as much as I can about the guests that we have, because I just have a huge amount of respect for the people that we have on. This year has been a fantastic year for people. We had, what was his name? W. Reynolds, who was the Tesla reviewer, was fantastic. Ciccarelli, who did the Facebook, the fake book thing that he had going on. Of course, Jay Garman, always on with us, and yourself. And I mean, there's so many people that I would say thanks to. I can't even go back through my mind to recall who all we've had on. Google and Paul Ulrich and all sorts of fantastic guests and so on. It's been really a great year for us. If I had to pick one interview that I thought was the best, I would say the Tesla interview was probably the most interesting and most fun that we did. Dave, do you have any special recollection or memory of the year that you'd like to say was something good? Or
Sure. Well, I went to Fan Expo up here in Toronto, never been to a comic convention before, and I actually had some cultural vertigo. I never saw, you know, so many unusual people in one place. I was worried they were going to turn on me, but it turned out they were very friendly. And the Neil Adams interview, I have not done a lot of interviews, so it's easy for that to be a standout, because that's the only one I've ever done.
Well, but it was also a standout because it was just a fantastic interview. I mean, he was so easy to interview too. I remember he had just a wealth and an unstopping flow, a font of wonderful stories and insight into the work that he's done, and the historical perspective that he had on that and everything. It was a fantastic catch, and one of the highlights of the year too. No question about it. I was so glad you were able to be there and do that.
Yeah, well, he gave a great, and you're right, I didn't, all I did was tick him off by asking questions. he just went off and did a great description of the cultural roles that comic books have played and changing people's ideas and about the world and about each other.
Exactly. No, absolutely. Yeah. And people can go back and find those anytime they want to at techtalk.wrlr.fm, or, of course, facebook.com/techtalkwrlr. I got to get out of here. We've actually got people on deck. I forgot. We've got shows coming in after us now. This it's not like the good old days when I could just rattle on forever. But people should stick around. The next show is going to be fantastic. He's talking about geeky science stuff. It's a perfect follow-up to our show. I'm going to stick around and listen to it for a little bit myself. I'm going to leave. I'm not going to bring up a new cool site of the week. I'm going to say my pick for cool site of the year. I've got two of them. TabApp.co helps you split bills when you're at the restaurant. And also, too, I thought this was awesome, is NavFree USA, which is a free satellite navigation program that you don't even need 4G for, to help you get around if you've got an old phone that you don't know what to do with anymore. I don't even know where to go, Dave. I'm just gonna say thanks. I gotta cruise out of here because I'm gonna get shot. I can see it. they've got fire in their eyes. They're ready to come on. Thanks. Have a wonderful year, Dave. We'll be talking to you soon. Everyone that's listening, thank you for being listeners this year. And please stay tuned as we come on in just a few minutes. And with Rob Schott first, and then we'll talk to you in 2014.
Thanks. Bye.
All right.
You should get shot. By the way.
I know. Take care, Dave. Take care. Thank you. Bye-bye. You've been listening to TikTok on WRLR 98.3 LPFM in Round Lake Heights, Illinois. We've got Rob Schott first on deck here. Don't go away. I'm going to leave you right now a special song for Bish Krifko called My Birthday Comes on Christmas. I'm going to play the Spike Jones version of that one, too. Enjoy.
Tough to be a kid like me, but I guess there's nothing I can.